We ran very far over on the keynote. Apologize for that. I got so excited, and I personally went about 9 minutes longer than I was supposed to, so I apologize for that. The problem is I did a lot of demos. How many people did not see the keynote this morning? Oh, wow. Oh, okay. So you'll get to see how many people were at the keynote. So I'm going to do the same jokes, so I'd appreciate if you could laugh again. Okay. So my name is Ben Riga. I'm a technical evangelist in the Developer and Platform Evangelism Group at Microsoft, based in the United States at headquarters. My email address is there. Please, if I miss something or if you think of a question later, feel free to email me. I always try to respond to all my emails. And also, please follow me on Twitter. It's an ego boost for me, so I would appreciate if you could do that. That's the only reason I do Twitter. So I talked about some of this stuff. I'll do a brief recap of what I talked about this morning in the keynote, and then I'm going to go into a little bit more detail of all of the things that we've announced that are coming in Mango. We announced most of this stuff at Mix. How many people were at Mix? Okay, so this hopefully will be new to you. So the first thing is, about a year ago, we announced the development platform for Windows Phone 7. Of course, we'd been working on it for a while. But the big message there was that we hit the big reset button and started over from scratch. It's not Windows Mobile. Windows Mobile was very strong in certain areas, but clearly was not a direction for success for us. And so we hit the reset button. And from a developer standpoint, there's a number of things that we did for Windows Phone. We basically went to all of the development technologies that were important, that were already being used by developers so that we could reuse existing skills, and that were successful. And so we took advantage of Visual Studio, Silverlight, XNA, C#, now we've also added VB, and of course based everything around managed code. And the results have been quite good. The ultimate goal for us was to enable this ecosystem to deliver compelling experiences. It's not enough anymore to just have a phone that does phone calling or texting, right? Consumers want apps. So if we look back, it's actually been a very good year for us from the platform and ecosystem standpoint. We have proven out that the platform that we put together for developers is one that is easy to develop for. It's something we already knew, but I think the world is starting to come to realize that it's much easier to develop for Windows Phone or on Visual Studio Managed Code than it is to develop for some of the competing platforms. Some of them are incredibly difficult, but none of them comes even close to being as easy to develop for as Visual Studio. So things like C# and, of course, Visual Studio now, Silverlight or XNA, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then there's also great design and development tools that encompass that. Visual Studio for developers, Blend, Expression Blend for designers, and for developers to a certain extent. The result of having that is that over the past few months, we launched in September, October, we now are up to 36,000 registered developers in what we refer to as the App Hub, which is on MSDN, where you go to register as a developer so that you can deploy your applications. So that number is updated. It should be 38,000 now, because we're just adding hundreds every week, which is a very good sign for us. It means that developers are getting it. And we're now up to over 13,000 apps, and that's also growing fast. We're adding hundreds of apps every week, some great apps, some fart apps, but lots of great apps as well. In fact, that's my role at Microsoft, is to make sure that partners that have great apps have all the resources they need to bring those apps to the platform. The devices have been getting great reviews. The platform has been getting great reviews. We have four primary platform vendors right now, or OEMs, Dell, HTC, LG, Samsung. They're just in alphabetical order. I didn't want to give a preference to one. But the big one is coming now. We've now announced it last week that Nokia and Microsoft have signed a deal. Nokia will be adopting Windows Phone as their primary platform for smartphones. And so that means that you can expect some really interesting devices, especially here in Europe, where Nokia is very strong. And all around the world, that means that there will be millions and millions and tens of millions of consumers that will be downloading your apps and taking advantage of that. So the one thing that I would add, and I guess I've been talking too much already, is doing business on Windows Phone. We've tried to make it as easy as possible. The important thing for us is that you keep in mind at all times that the user is king. That's a guiding principle. And it's kind of an obvious one, but not always the case for us. So if you think back to Windows Mobile, the way we put that... For when we're ready for the consumers, when we launch the apps for the consumer, the phones for the consumers. Trial mode, if you have an app, you should take advantage of trial mode. It's just very simple. Basically, it means that you have some function that you give to your consumers that they were able to try your app for free. And we know that when you do that, that there's a huge bump in conversion. If you don't have a trial mode versus having a trial mode, there's a big difference in how many apps get purchased. So just a tip there. The marketplace is working very well. We've had some bumps, but we're turning the crank. Because the marketplace is primarily server-side, we're able to make changes very quickly, and you've also seen that we've changed quickly as we've hit those bumps. There are developers in 30 countries. That's where you can get paid. Obviously, you can be a developer in any country, but there's 30 countries where you can get paid today, including the Netherlands. Even though we don't have a marketplace for the Netherlands, as a developer today, you can be developing on Windows Phone 7 and deploying for the global marketplace. And Nokia, as I mentioned, a big change over the past few months since we announced it. Last week, it's now been confirmed. Nokia will... I think, bring a new dynamic to our platform. And after announcing the Nokia deal, we've actually already started seeing analyst reports that are saying, you know, within a few years, the Windows Phone platform will be the number two platform in smartphone deployment. So there was a number of things that we wanted Mango to enable you to do. And so I'm not going to read all of them there because I'm going to actually dive in and actually show you some of those things. But we had very much a list of things that we wanted to enable. We had to reprioritize. There were some things, as I mentioned in the keynote today, you always have a long list. I'm sure as the developers you understand that at some point you have to draw a line. The stuff that gets above the line gets built. The stuff that goes below the line, well, that'll be next version. Well, Mango is our next version, and many of those features are features that we've been thinking about. Many of them have actually been reprioritized because of the demand for them from end users. So the major investment areas, let me go through them quickly, and I'm actually going to go into them in a lot more detail. The major investment areas, the first one, the primary one, is multitasking. This is something that developers have been asking for a while. Almost since we announced the platform, it was the first thing people were asking for. How come my app can't run in the background? And of course, the platform itself does do multitasking. We've always had the underlying operating system on the device supports multitasking. For instance, if you start the music player, you can put that into the background and continue listening to music while you check email, which also is checking email in the background. So those are just some of the things. What we are adding is a select number of scenarios where you will be able to do multitasking. And I'll talk about what those themes are in a couple of minutes. We've also enhanced the phone framework in a number of different ways. I'll talk about the specifics. Sorry, was there a question? No, okay. Okay. XNA and Silverlight. So in the past, you've had to make a choice. If you're building a general purpose application, you probably went with Silverlight. Although you might be able to write a game in Silverlight, most of the time the games are being written in XNA because that's been actually fine-tuned for developing games, especially 3D modeling and so on, being able to handle that. In Mango, you will actually be able to combine the best of both worlds. If you have a Silverlight application that you've built and your boss comes to you at the end when you're ready to ship and says, you know, I need that 3D model of a globe spinning. You know, everyone has that pointy-headed boss that tells them that stuff at the end, right when you're ready to ship. You will be able to do that. You will be able to take a Silverlight application and add XNA because you need to do 3D or that sort of thing. Vice versa, if you are using XNA, you will be able to take advantage of Silverlight. XNA is great for 3D and gaming and so on. Not so great for things like text boxes and buttons and lists of things like leaderboards and that sort of thing. So that's actually much easier to do in Silverlight. So you can take advantage of XNA to build your application, your 3D gaming piece. You can take advantage of Silverlight to do the on-screen. You can layer Silverlight on top of that. And I'll show you what I mean by that in a couple of minutes. Performance, we've done a number of performance enhancements to the platform from a consumer standpoint, but also from a developer standpoint. Things like long lists and so on. We've taken advantage of some things, moving stuff off the UI thread so that your applications will perform better. Database access, again, this is probably after multitasking was the number one request. If you have your data in a structured form, like a SQL database, you probably want a SQL database on the device. And that was something that we just couldn't get into Windows Phone 7, but you will have that in Mango. Push notifications and live tiles. We've gone that extra step, adding some additional functionality around push notifications and the tile experience. It's probably the number one differentiating feature between Windows Phone and other competitive platforms. And so we're trying to take advantage of that. We hope that you will take advantage of that tile experience. We've also added some additional marketplace services. And then finally, in Windows Phone, you were primarily limited to using HTTP to communicate. We've now opened it up so that you can use sockets as well. Okay, so let's talk about multitasking. Any questions, by the way? How am I doing so far? Is this stuff you already know? I'm getting a thumbs up in the front. I'll take you as the positive there. Let's start with that. So the first thing is fast application resume. This is something that you get almost for free. Basically, what it means is that every app will be able to resume very quickly. In Windows Phone, when you pushed your app into the back stack, it basically was tombstoned, right? You had to save your state. And everything was pretty much taken out of memory. And then when the user hit the back button, then there was this lag where you saw the resuming screen with the dots going across. We're trying to eliminate that, not eliminate it, but pretty much make it a much more rare occurrence. Because basically, rather than tombstoning your app, if there's enough memory on the device, we will make your app dormant. In other words, it will stay in memory, we'll turn off some things, but your app will stay in memory, and when the user hits the back button, that app will be running immediately. And so you get all the benefits of resuming and switching without the problems that you would get with full multitasking, where you know if you're running in the background, you're actually using the battery and could be draining the battery without the end user knowing. So we're trying to protect. Remember what I said at the beginning about the user being king? We're trying to make sure that the user has a consistent and delightful experience, and that's part of that. So every app should do this. If you are already building an application and doing tombstoning, you will get it for free. The one thing that you will have to check is that when your app comes back, when the end user hits the back button, comes back to your app, you will just have to check whether if the end user ran out of memory and the app was actually tombstoned, then you'll have to check and make sure and then bring that up. So that's a one line of code thing. So before you were tombstoned always, now you just have to check. If I'm not tombstoned, then I don't have to bring my state back. I can just start running again. Background agents is another important one, and this is basically allowing you to run code in the background. Did you have a question? Okay. All right. And so there's a number of different background agents. There's an audio background agent. Basically, if you are music streaming service or a podcast service or some sort of musical application where your application, your end user may want to just listen to your application while doing other things, you now have the capability to do that in the background. Basically, you hand us your files, and we have a service that takes care of playing that audio for you. It's very convenient, and by doing it that way, we're able to, again, protect the end user from runaway applications, from applications that drain the battery, and so on. There's also timed and on idle. On idle is sometimes referred to as on AC, on power. The timed basically means every 30 minutes or so, you will get the opportunity to do something for about 15 seconds. And so that allows you to do, and I'll show you one in a few minutes, a Qantas application, where every 30 minutes, Qantas Airlines goes and checks if the passenger for an air for their flight is near the airport. And if they're not, then they warn the passenger that, you know, you better get moving, or would you like to go to an alternate flight? There's also the on idle or on power. Basically, what that means is if you're on Wi-Fi and you're on power, then you basically get a chance to do anything you want, basically running. So, for instance, when you get home, this is your bedside, you know, you get home, you basically plug in, you're on your home Wi-Fi, you plug into power, and that's a good time where we know we don't have to worry about battery, we don't have to worry about losing the end users because you're already shut down, sort of, from an end user's point of view. You can go and retrieve lots of data, right? If it's a news application, just pull all that news down. Or if it's file transfers, you just move all of those. So you can take advantage of that. There's some scenarios where that is very, very handy. Notifications. This is kind of handy. The same way that the platform has alarms and calendar reminders. So, for instance, this morning I was anxious to get to my keynote. I didn't want to be late, so I actually set alarms on the platform. That's an alarm application. And then also on my calendar, I get reminders, right? So I get a 15-minute reminder to make sure that I get to a meeting. You will be able to do that same functionality. So you will be able to set alarms if your application needs that, or you will be able to set reminders. And the difference between an alarm is the alarm, it's basically just snooze or dismiss. And a reminder, you can snooze and dismiss, but you can also click it and it will give you a deep link back into your application. So for instance, if your application, again, we use it, let me just show it to you on, actually, let me, oh. It's in my pocket. I guess I should have prepared. This is the problem with running late. There we go. Okay. So there is the Qantas application. Hang on, that's not right. So, let's try that again. Okay. Okay, there we go. So here's my Qantas application. This is an application, again, it's Qantas Airlines from Australia. They have their application, which is their smart boarding card. And here you have the list of all my flights that I have booked. And I can pin, so here is, I was going to show this later, but here is the ability to pin multiple tiles to the start screen. This is important in a number of ways. You'll notice that I have my Qantas tile here, which is just the tile to get me into the application. There's a difference between that, which is just sort of the way we do it today, and this one, these two at the bottom, which are actually tiles. Can you see that okay? These are actually tiles that are deep linking directly into my flights. So if I go to this one, you'll see that rather than going directly to Qantas, I'm actually going into this particular flight, so deep linking. And then I have access to all sorts of boarding information. In a couple of seconds, if I've set it properly, you'll see that a reminder will come up, and that reminder will actually allow me to link directly back. Let's let it run for a couple of seconds. We'll come back to it. There we go. We'll come back to that one because I want to show you all the other stuff in there as well. So notifications, very important. You'll be able to add reminders and alarms into your applications. And then finally, there's the background transfer service. So if your application is transferring data, lots of data, for whatever reason, for instance, if you are downloading books, your Amazon, right? When you want to download those books, you can only do it while the application is running in the foreground because we don't have the ability to do that today in Windows Phone. Once you can go and purchase a book and it will start downloading, but if the end user exits or puts your application gets tombstoned, your downloads stop. And so what we've done now is we've said, okay, well, we have a background transfer service. You will be able to hand us an URL where we'll say, okay, well, we're going to download that for you. We're going to put it in your isolated storage for your application so that when you are ready, when the end user comes back to your application, that file will have been transferred, right? So it's a very handy thing. Again, the reason we do it that way is because we know that we can fine-tune the application, the background transfers and so on, and access to the radio and the Wi-Fi and all that stuff in a way that protects the end user from runaway applications that are running in the background and downloading all sorts of stuff in a bad way, or taking too much of the power and then draining the battery. And so there, let me just switch back here. So here you see that this is a reminder for the application. And so I can dismiss or snooze it, but if I click on it, you'll see that it actually takes me directly to Qantas and takes me, in this case, to the list of flights. The other thing you'll see is that this flight is red now, where it was green earlier. The reason it's red is because in the background, Qantas is checking the location. They're doing a location. Every 30 minutes, they're using an agent, and every 30 minutes, they're checking my location. They're sending my, whether it's via Wi-Fi or GPS, they're sending that to their server. On their server, they can then go to Bing, for instance, and say, well, if he is in The Hague and he needs to be in Schiphol to catch a flight, well, that's a 45-minute drive, and he's only got 30 minutes, he's going to be late. And so this is red. And so if you're going to be red, then they have information around, you know, how many minutes you have left and how long you have. And then they also have the ability, in this case, for alternate flights, including, you know, if I click the call button, it will actually call the 1-800 number for Qantas. Or I may want to take a risk. And in this case, it won't work because I don't have internet on this device when I'm on here. But you'll see that, yeah, can't reach Bing Maps. This is another feature, which is Bing Maps. This is a feature which I'll talk about in a few minutes. Any questions on multitasking? I'm going to do a session tomorrow morning. I think it's first thing where I'll go into a lot more detail on the multitasking, including the Fast App Resume, as well as notifications and some of the others. Is there anyone here that does a background audio? Yeah, it's a rare scenario. It's a really important one for consumers, so we want to enable it, but it's kind of rare. So I probably won't go into that one, but the other ones I'm going to try and talk to tomorrow morning, assuming my alarm goes off and I make it on time. So this is a kind of a heads-up list of all of the various functions in Windows Phone, and some of the new ones are sort of highlighted here. So the first one is the camera, access to the pipeline. Basically the ability to turn on the camera and have direct access to the camera feed. Certain scenarios find that very important. So for instance, if you're doing augmented reality where you want to point the camera at a building or a sign and get some information about that location, that kind of requires, you can't just take a picture and then wait and send it. It's just not a great scenario. Or barcode scanning where you want to be able to scan the barcode in real time. Those are scenarios that require that. You now will be able to do that. On the sensor side, we already had GPS, the accelerometer. Actually, every Windows Phone device also had a compass, but unfortunately, we did not have an API for the compass. Again, for some scenarios, in fact, the augmented reality one kind of needs a compass. You need to know where you're pointing so that you know you know, what it is you're looking at. And so the Compass is a new API that we'll be adding. We're also adding a new hardware requirement where devices will have a gyro, which gives you much more fine-tuned information about motion on the device. And so you'll be able to do some really interesting scenarios around moving the camera, the device up and down, left and right, and know where your device is in real time, in space. The important thing here, it's the gyro and the compass are really handy, obviously, but there's some really hard math around taking advantage of those. And so what we've added to the framework is what we refer to as the spatial framework. And so rather than you having to remember your linear algebra and all that stuff from computer science degrees that you did, hopefully not that long ago, you will now be able to take advantage of the spatial framework where we do all of the hard math for you, and you just take advantage of that. Of course, you can charge your customers the same amount. On the networking side, you will have access to sockets. I mentioned this earlier. So if you're doing applications that require sockets, that was a blocker for you on Windows Phone. We know that, and that was something that we wanted to add. So we're adding that in. You also have access to Connection Manager, which means you'll be able to check whether you're on Wi-Fi or 3G, and you'll have access to all of the information related to the network information about that. On the data side, a few things. SQL CE, again, there are some scenarios or some applications or some business models where you are actually, your data is in structured format and you can't use isolated storage, or it's very hard for you to use isolated storage. So now you will be able to take advantage of a full SQL CE database running on the device, and you can move your data in and out and so on. Just take advantage of it like you do on the regular Silverlight. We've also added access to phone contacts and phone calendar so that you can build some scenarios where you take that information. You couldn't do that before. We had launchers and choosers where you could search for a contact or search for a calendar. Actually, I don't even think you could search for a calendar entry, but you could search for a contact. Now you will be able to get access to the entire contacts database as well as the calendar database. So you can actually search and take advantage of that when you're building your applications. Launchers and choosers, there are some that we had already, email, phone number, address chooser, those were there. The new one is the Bing Maps chooser, where you will be able to provide 2 points, and then Bing Maps will actually provide directions between those 2 points. So for instance, in my Qantas app, if I was able to use the app properly, would be able to give me the map between here and the airport, right? Without my having to go and take advantage of the APIs on the web and pull that data down and then create a new page and all that stuff. Bing Maps just does it for you. It's just a new feature you can add to your application very quickly, very easily, and almost for free. Let's see, where are we? Next is on the control side. There are a number of frame and page navigation improvements, primarily mostly the same, but there are some improvements. Also, we've made some improvements on the performance side. Lists, for instance, we've spent a lot of time making lists smoother so that the, you know, when you scroll, they will just move. Things like moving gestures off of the UI thread so that the UI is just much more responsive. So that, a lot of that stuff you'll just get for free by using our controls. And then we have already dropped some of our controls into CodePlex so that you have access to some additional controls. The Silverlight Toolkit for Windows Phone is already up there. We will continue to maintain that so you have access to additional controls as well as the source code to those controls. So you can use the controls, but you can also learn how we develop controls so that you can develop your own or reference those when you're building your own. A few things on the phone framework. The tiles, I think we talked about some of those. The tile is really, for us, what we refer to as a signature or the, sort of a key differentiator between our platform and some of the others. On some of the other platforms, you're getting lots of icons, which are great, but they don't give you a whole lot of information. So the live tile in Windows Phone is meant to be an icon, yes, it's a way to access your application, but it's also meant to give you at-a-glance information. That's why we call them live tiles, so that you can give your end users the ability to get some information, perhaps without even having to get into your application. And so we hope that you will take full advantage of that. We know that applications that do have live tiles tend to get purchased more or tend to get ranked higher than applications that don't have live tiles. And we've made it a little bit easier. We saw it a few minutes ago with the Qantas app, where you have now both the front and the back of the live tile. You also have more control over pushing information into the live tile. Take advantage, perhaps, of background agents to push information into the live tile on a regular basis. Hopefully, you'll take full advantage of that. There's now a complete framework. You're also now able to do multiple tiles, as we saw. And those tiles can now deep link into your application so that you don't have to go from your tile to the root of your application and find the information, right? Push notifications. So push notifications today, you can have a toast, but when you click the toast, it would just launch the application without taking you directly to where that toast. So for instance, if I had a sporting events application and some player scored a goal in the football game last night, I want to be able to get a toast. When I click on that toast, I don't want to go to the root and read all of the sporting news. I want to go directly to the information about that goal. And so by having deep linking, you're now able to do exactly that. So your scenario around push notifications become a little bit more compelling and a little bit, actually a lot more useful to the end user. Just having that information is good. Having that information and being able to drill into it and get even more information is even better. And so you also have more control over notifications. We've added more endpoints and lots of good stuff around that. So push notifications is much more complete as things go. The platform already in Windows Phone had a number of what we refer to as extras. These are ways of your application integrating directly into an application. So for instance, if I had a music application, for instance, I had a partner that I was working with that had a music lyrics application. And so they integrated directly in. Anytime the end user was playing a music, they could go into the lyrics and they could see what the lyrics are for the song that's currently playing. This is what we refer to as an extra, where you're enhancing the existing functionality of the phone, where your application starts to integrate directly into our platform. We had this already on the music side. We also had it on the camera side. So for instance, when an end user is looking at a photo and you perhaps have a photo editing application, your application could link in so that when the end user is looking at a photo, they could go directly to your photo editing application and without having to go back and find the application and so on. So it's a way of you to integrate. A new one that we're adding is a search extra. And there's a little bit more information on that. Search extras allows third-party applications to integrate directly into the Bing search functionality. So as you probably know, every Windows Phone device has a search button. It's a hard button. It's a requirement. Every OEM has to have one. It's the third one on the right. And so when you do a search on certain items, movies, places like locations, points of interest and so on, events, things that are happening, a concert or what have you, or products, you know, a television or a phone or that sort of thing, when a user does a search on what Bing thinks is one of these four things, you have the ability to insert your application into that experience. And so the canonical example is movies. So for instance, if I have, if I search for movies and then I find a movie, let's say I search for movies and it tells me source code is playing and I click on source code, it will bring me up what's called the movie card in Bing. And as part of that movie card experience, you will be able to insert yourself and say, okay, well, I have information about movies. Add me as a search extra. If the end user clicks on my application, it will automatically launch your application and take the end user directly in. So you're given that parameter. So as a movie, I would click, I would get source code, I would then go and retrieve information about that. It's actually pretty easy to do. You update your app's manifest and you use the extensions element, one for every category, and then boom, your application immediately starts appearing on that end user's device. There's an extras XML file that you add to your Zap, which adds captioning, and then you then have to add context to your application so that when you get that search query coming from the search application that you know what to do with it. And so basically, you know, if I get a request from an end user for source code, then I basically go and search for the movie source code. There are some additional Silverlight investments. There's a whole lot of Silverlight investments because we've moved to Silverlight 4. Windows Phone 7 had Silverlight 3 Plus. It wasn't full Silverlight 3. It wasn't full Silverlight 4. It was Silverlight 3 with some additional stuff. Now you will get pretty much, not completely, but pretty much a Silverlight 4. It's not a straight port, obviously, because there's some stuff in Silverlight 4 desktop that doesn't make sense on a device. But things like a rich desktop, rich text box, which is kind of handy. Text box are great. Rich text box are better if you're doing editing sorts of applications. Implicit styles is kind of a handy thing when you're styling your application. It's just much easier for you to style your application and write your code in a way that's much more consistent across, and also be able to manage your application skinning and that sort of thing. You also probably know that we added, not that long ago, hopefully you have your update already. There was an update a few weeks ago that we released a few weeks ago that is starting to work its way through onto people's devices called Nodo. And that added, that had a lot of bug fixes and performance enhancements and so on. And the one new feature that it added was cut and paste, because it was such a common request from end users that had it on other platforms that we squeezed that into the update. The cut and paste only works in Nodo on the text box. So if your application happens to use a text box, you got cut and paste for free. What we're adding with Mango is a clipboard API. And so that means that you can insert and retrieve from the clipboard from your application, with some caveats, but you should be able to take full advantage of cut and paste and have cut and paste in your application in a much easier way. All sorts of performance enhancements. Memory management is much better. Input on render thread, that's an issue that we were having around performance, and so that's an important thing. We've also added profiler instrumentation. So from within Visual Studio, you will actually be able to profile your application running on a device and then use that information to drill into where your performance issues are. So expect that in the Mango release. And then all sorts of things for internationalization. Primarily, we'll be adding a lot of new countries with the Mango release, and so things like Asia, the Western European languages should be okay already, but if you're doing work in Asia, for instance, that will just be a lot easier. XNA and Silverlight, let's have a look at that. So I think I showed this earlier. Let me see here. Okay, so the first one, let me just show you again. This is a Silverlight application that was built by a third party for our conference, the Mix11 conference, which was a couple of weeks ago. They did it on their own just for fun and to show off some of their work and so on. But it's a Silverlight application. Basically, it has all the events and the map and so on. And so what we asked them to do was to add a little enhancement. Scott Guthrie, who does all the Silverlight, manages all the Silverlight stuff back at Corp, asked them to add something, sort of a vanity feature. And basically what he's adding there, can you see that okay? We were in a Silverlight application. We're still in that Silverlight application, but now what you're seeing is a 3D model of Scott Guthrie. And so Scott is here in 3D, and so here you can see, whoops. See, wow. Yeah, okay. Sorry. I had the same problem earlier. I promise you the same jokes, right? And so here you can see I can move Scott around. I can turn him around. That's a full 3D model of Scott. Here we can even skin him or change the background. This is all done using XNA. I can, you know, show off his great Silverlight tattoo or his Windows Phone tattoo, realistic stuff. But the important thing here is that we had a Silverlight application. We wanted to add 3D to it. We didn't have to start from scratch. So that's one scenario where you are in Silverlight and you want to be able to add the other scenario is the other way around. Let me see if I can bring it up. So let's say you are in, you're comfortable with XNA, you're building games. You want to add some additional features to those games. XNA is great for things like this, 3D model of a tank spinning, the turret is going up and down, and it performs really well, right? I can put it in free spin mode, and you can see this is actually, you know, it's full XNA, it works great. But it doesn't, XNA doesn't give me the capability to do things like text and input and all of that stuff. Anytime you need to do that, you're basically almost having to write it from scratch. Eventually, you write up your library of how to do that. But we were thinking, well, if we already have Silverlight, why not combine those two? And so, for instance, if I go into edit mode here, all of these buttons here that you see are all Silverlight buttons. So for instance, if I go into animations, so checkboxes, how do I do a checkbox in XNA? There is no checkbox control in XNA. You have to write your own. And so here we just, you know, added all of that, and it just works. Right? Or I can, you know, this is all still XNA, but layered on top of the XNA is Silverlight. So from a Silverlight perspective, if you're a Silverlight developer, you can now take advantage of XNA to do things like 3D modeling and that sort of stuff. There's some great power in the XNA framework. If you're great in XNA, you can take advantage of Silverlight to do things like leaderboards or help screens, that sort of thing, where it's text or input, that sort of thing. Any questions? How am I doing so far? Are you guys getting this? I know I'm trying to go a little fast to catch up because we started 15 minutes late. On the tooling investments, let me see if I still have that. I'll just start that. We said we had till 12:20. Is that what you guys said? I want to leave some time for questions at the end, so I'll start that, and then let's go. So on the tooling side, you get some things that we've been working on. I talked about some of them earlier. If I have time, I'll show it again. Template for multitasking. So of course, we have all these new capabilities, background agents, background file transfer, all that stuff. We want to make it easy for you to develop those background multitasking applications in a way that works well. And so you'll have new templates in Visual Studio, you know, file new multitasking app or something along those lines. In addition to that, because you're using Visual Studio, you're actually, when you're doing background agents, you will have multiple tasks running at the whole time. That's kind of the definition of what multitasking is. And so you will be able to, you will need to debug those multitasking things. And so Visual Studio, we've added the capability for you to debug different tasks on the device or on the emulator. Another thing, if you are in developing today for Windows Phone 7 and using isolated storage, you probably had to write a lot of code to debug your isolated storage. And so we will be adding to Visual Studio the ability to go and explore isolated storage like Windows Explorer, so you can actually see what's going on without having to write custom code to do that. That's just a simple one. And I mentioned this earlier, we'll also have a profiler in Visual Studio that will actually track the performance of the application and what it's doing at different times. Okay, we'll come back to that when it's ready. And so that will make it much easier for you to figure out what's going on, why is things not performing, are you taking full advantage of the application, are you using too much memory, do you have memory leaks? All of that stuff will sort of bubble up to the top and make it much easier for you to build applications that are performant. .NET, there's all sorts of stuff coming on from the .NET. Again, moving to Silverlight 4 and taking advantage of, you know, additional performance things, SIMD, the profiler, all of that stuff is there. On the emulator side, sensors and location in the emulator, and this is actually what I wanted to show you. So hopefully this is running now. And let me run that application. Okay, maybe I won't run it. While that's running, there it is. Okay, so let's come back to it. So we'll talk about it. Multi-touch in the emulator is kind of important. If you are using the emulator on a Windows 7 screen that has a touch screen, some laptops have that. There are some desktop monitors that do that. It actually makes it much easier to debug your application or to test your application if you're using touch on your screen in the emulator. And that worked in Windows Phone 7, but it was only single touch. Now we actually support multi-touch. So if you have a multi-touch screen, you're going to be happy about that. Screenshotting. This is something pretty obvious. We should have had it, made it much easier. So you will be able to, there will be a function for you to take screenshots directly within the emulator. So look for that. And then finally, the ingestion tool. The same tool that we use when you submit your application to the marketplace, we have a tool that tests your application for a certain number of things that are automated. We will make that tool available to you so that you can then do the same sort of testing that we do. In other words, catching the bugs that fail you in certification early so that you can be successful and get your application to market quicker. Now, for some reason, oh, there it is. Okay. There we go. So just to give you an example, so here is an application that is an accelerometer-based application, and basically it's, you know, an application where you have your device and you have to tilt your device to use the accelerometer and move this marble on the screen in a way that allows you to do that. This is great, but you can't test that on the emulator if you don't have an accelerometer. And so what we've done is added the ability to do that. So let me just add, so I've just opened up what referred to as the additional tools. And let me just tell it that we're not in portrait, but in landscape flat. And so you'll see here this red dot. If I move that red dot, I'm actually, we're injecting that information directly into the accelerometer. Let me see if I can do better than I did last time. Okay, well, we're short on time, so I won't bore you with my poor gaming skills. Never mind. So that's where I want to do that. One thing that I wanted to mention, it's not really related to Mango, but it is something that's fairly new, and it is a way for you to get your feedback to us quickly. We've added, there is a third-party service called uservoice.com, and we've added a section on there, WP Dev, Windows Phone Development. As a developer, you can go to wpdev.uservoice. Let me just go there right now. And there you will basically get the ability to talk directly to the program managers that are working on the features. So if you saw something today that you did not like, that you want more information on, or that you think we should do in a different way, this is the capability for you to do that. And so here I have to sign in. I'll just use my Facebook credentials. Okay, let's try that again. So you will get to sign in. You will get the ability to ask questions, but you can also get the ability to vote on features. So if there's certain things that you like, you will get 25 votes, and you get to vote those features up. And that will then allow you to... I don't know why... my internet must be really slow. Okay, so I'm now signed in, and now, as you can see, I have 25 votes left, and I can then go and have a look at, let's say I have some issues with the rich text box control. I can then go and, the internet is really slow in here. And as you can see, there's already lots of information in there. There's already a lot of voting that's happening. And so we encourage you to jump in. It's a way for you to take advantage us. And I can tell you that the program managers working on these features read this daily. They're looking at this information. They're trying to help. It's another data point for them to figure out what it is that you need to build great applications. The other thing that we did is because we built some things around the user voice, we actually made the... and one thing I should mention is that there will be a Windows Phone developer feedback app. We've actually built an app for the phone that allows you to give feedback on the go, I guess. And because we did that, we actually developed an API for user voice, and we've actually open sourced that. So you can go, and this is available today, wp7uservoice.codeplex.com, which would allow you to insert customer feedback information directly into your app. So it's a way for you to communicate with your customers directly. So the one thing I'll leave you with, I mentioned this earlier, I'm hoping that because the marketplace is coming to the Netherlands later this year, now is the right time to get started. You should start developing your applications. If you already have applications on other platforms, it would be a good time now to start learning the Windows Phone platform and start porting your application over. Or if you have great ideas, now's the time to get started. Everything that you do today in Windows Phone 7 ports directly to Mango. You will not have to rewrite your code. So the important message I leave you with is please get started today. And then, of course, with Mango, I think you saw that we've been busy. There's a lot of stuff that we're adding to Mango. There's very few scenarios now that you cannot manage with Mango. So please go ahead and do that. The tools are coming very soon. In a few weeks, you will be able to get the Mango tools. And so hopefully you'll play with that. And then take advantage of uservoice.com to let us know what you think of those tools. And so I think I have about 5 minutes or so to take questions. And of course, I'll be available later. I do have a meeting after this, but I'm available if you want to email me. I don't know if I left my email on there. Oops. BenRiga@Microsoft.com, or you can follow me or DM me on Twitter. More than happy to answer any questions you have about the platform. So how about, are there questions now? Yes. Just shout them out, and I'll repeat them so everyone else can hear. So the question was, do we isolate applications from each other in Windows Phone 7? And the answer is absolutely we do. No application has access to any other application on the platform. So even your own application, you can't put two applications of yourself and one application call another application or go and have a look at someone else's isolated storage. There's obviously privacy issues and all sorts of things. So. That's totally blocked at the operating system level. It's just not possible. Any other questions? Yes, at the back. I don't know if there's a microphone back there. I guess not. Yep. You can either shout or, yeah, if you want to come closer. Is there a microphone there? Apparently not. Go ahead.
Are there any tools for emulating the power users?
For emulating?
Power usage.
Ah, okay, sorry. There is not yet. That's something that I've heard some discussions around that, but it's not available yet. It's a very difficult problem because it's hard to figure out, you know, if this application is using the network and downloading X number of bytes, how much battery does that use? Or if this application is using the GPU to do a spinning tank, how much battery does that use? That's kind of a difficult problem to solve. We have seen that on other platforms. They're not always accurate. So when we get that, it's not coming in Mango. Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Yes, at the back.
Is there support for USB controllers?
Okay, the question, is there support for USB controls? I'm not sure what... Oh, you mean plug... okay, so devices that you would connect via USB to the Windows Phone device. Not in Mango. That's not coming. We do support Bluetooth transfer from Mango to, for instance, so if you're in your car and you want to listen to your music that you have on your device, on your car stereo, We do support AVRCP via Bluetooth, and there's some good stuff coming there around Bluetooth, but not USB. Any other questions? Yes. So the question was, can you get early access to Mango? And that's coming in May. So you will get access to Mango Bits in May, in a few weeks. So stay tuned. But I encourage you to go to create.msdn.com and get started on Windows Phone 7 today. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. A loaded question in the front. So let me repeat that. Will the update experience for Mango be as great as the update experience for Nodo? So some of you may have heard that the Nodo release, the Nodo update that we did, there were some issues. We ran into some issues, and we had a lot of learning from that experience. So I can tell you that there was a lot of hand-wringing and concern about that. So I expect that the Mango update will be very smooth. Yeah. 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 Any other questions? Yes, in the corner. Yeah, that's not... Sorry, so the question is, does the emulator support camera? And that's not something that we have in the current release. I wish we had that. That would have been a convenient one, maybe using a webcam or something like that. It's not in this release. Sorry. Coming soon, maybe. The one after Mango. Mango plus one. Maybe that's pineapple or something. I made that up. Don't go and Twitter that. Don't tweet that. I'm going to get into trouble. You'll get me into trouble. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, so, sorry? So it's locale settings, right? So if you're using, so for instance, bidirectional text or text that goes left to right or right to left, all of that gets supported in in Mango. Because we are launching in countries that require that, whether it's Arabic or Hebrew or, you know, Japan or China, Korea, all of those countries that have different language settings, that's all supported. And so your applications can support that as well. We made that very easy. Windows Phone 7 already supports localization. .NET has always had that. And so you get that automatically as part of Silverlight and .NET and Visual Studio and C# and so on. Now we're adding to the phone the ability to do a whole set of other languages. Coming soon. Yep. I think I'm actually out of time. So I want to thank you for your patience. If you do have questions, I'll be around for a few more minutes. I'll also be around all day today and tomorrow. So feel free to email me or DM me on Twitter or whatever. I'm more than happy to meet one-on-one if you have questions or comments. Thank you.